Welcome. I am your host today, Hadley Hirsch. I'm the client partnership strategist here at O8. And today I will be chatting with Seth and Laura. Seth, do you want to go ahead and give a quick intro, say hello, and then pass it off to Laura?
Sure. I'm Seth Vibrak, founder and CEO of O8. Glad to be here. Laura?
Hi, everyone. I'm Laura Riskin, and I'm the VP of Operations at O8.
Let's get started. First question, is your digital marketing team positioned to accomplish your goals and do so efficiently? How can you tell? Seth, let's
Wow.
start with you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you, of course, have to measure, right? Measuring is subjective, right? How are we doing as an organization? But you have to have analytics and start with that. It's a very complicated question. I feel like if we get more into the pitfalls and the roles, we can develop that question more.
Yeah, talk to me about those pitfalls. I know there's some common ones that we run into. What are we seeing?
There's issues with messaging and storytelling, and sometimes it's as simple as clearly stating what you do, who you are, and how you're different from others. The value propositions, even the CTAs, are not as clear as they could be, and that, people don't realize how important that is to converting a user into a whatever it is you want, a subscriber, a customer, what have you. So that's one. And then number two is, just like I said, measurement. So issues with attribution and data management, right? There's more and more marketing data as the marketing world gets more complex. And of course, lack of time to analyze and deal with that data, right? It seems like every marketing team is strapped for time and sometimes expertise, and the data piece just makes it even more overwhelming. Feels like you have to be a mini data scientist these days to deal with some of that. So that's number three. And number four is lack of expertise in key areas of execution. So, right, as it gets more complex, there's more things to know, and that the marketing is getting more technical every day. So even though there is a good no-code movement, you still have to have a technical mind to piece some of these things together. And then finally, issues with conversions, right? You have the marketing material, the beautiful website, whatever it is, but does it actually generate leads or subscribers or purchases, whatever is valuable to your organization?
Right. Laura, do you have anything to add, especially coming from an operations standpoint? I know in your background, you've literally been brought into organizations to identify the pitfalls and fix them. Are these the common five ones you see, and what's your experience there?
Yeah, it definitely. I think Seth hit on a lot of really strong things here. I also feel like when we have these situations, sometimes there's like half of the information there, right? So like they have the data, but they don't know how to analyze it or make recommendations and to use it to move forward, just as an example. Or they have people, but they're not in the right areas to execute on the ideas that they have. Or they don't set up proper benchmarks and KPIs and goals at the outset, so they have nothing to measure against, So I see a few of those things over and over inside of companies, and all of those things, can be remedied, through these endeavors, setting it up properly.
Right. So it sounds like we've identified the pitfalls, but when you're looking at a marketing team structure, how should that be fully staffed? Is there a one size fits all, or really how can you go about creating this structure?
Yeah, well, there's lots of buzzwords and titles that you can give a marketing team, and lots of subdivisions and subsections as, companies or thought leaders come out with terms and subdivisions, like, inbound marketing versus demand gen. I feel like inbound marketing is a tactic. So, anyway, this structure, looking at it holistically, it's like you need leadership, right? And then that bifurcates into an editorial director. You have to make marketing stuff and make it pretty and engaging and useful to your audience, and aligning with your brand. And then on the other side, you you want to get business, you want to get leads, you want to get awareness, all these things. So that's the bifurcation between editorial director and acquisitions director. You can call them whatever you want. The internet probably calls them many different names, but those are the concepts. And then you break it down, going from editorial, creating content, and then it's got to be creative content that looks and acts, you know, well and draws in the user. And then under acquisitions director, you've got someone to convert the leads, essentially, you know, create stuff that converts the leads. And then you've got someone to measure that effort so that you can improve and gain insights from your data. And then, you know, use those insights to drive learnings and further improvement in what you're doing.
Yeah, and Laura, I feel like you've done a really good job with identifying these roles, even here at 08. And you mentioned earlier that sometimes it's not a matter of like a lack of the talent, but maybe the talent's in the wrong spot. And I also think that this department structure really helps kind of do a RACI chart. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, RACI is an interesting thing because, you know, people always think that that if they're included in that they're totally responsible for something, right? And that's not always true. You can have a whole team of people working on a project. So your editorial director would be accountable in that RACI dynamic, and your content manager and your creative manager are responsible for getting the things done. So one is oversight and one is more like managerial and execution based. And the same, you know, on the other side, the acquisitions director is an overseer to make sure that things are moving well. And then the analytics manager and the lead gen manager, they keep the train moving and they help execute on those ideas.
So what roles should a fully staffed digital marketing team include then? What types of minds do we need to pull together, Seth?
Yeah, so, you know, the previous graph or graphic was, you know, very like hierarchy based, role based. This is more descriptive of what you need. So you need a marketing mind who it's kind of like the leadership, right? Where they've got a wide, broad understanding of marketing and strategy. They have to be strategic and up on current trends and technologies, right? Yep. They have to know a lot.
Big picture perspective.
Big picture perspective, yes. You know, and then you get folks in the details, down in the details, like the technical architect you see down there, the metrics interpreter, right? So all these different roles are essentially supporting the marketing mind. But if we don't want to think about hierarchy, let's just go through them. You've got the metrics interpreter, right? You got to look at the data and derive insights. The wordsmith, someone who not just creates copy, but it has strong editorial background and right. can make very precise, pithy statements. You know, we get confused and think that we just need content generation, but you know that very value proposition on your homepage, for example, can make or break your entire business. So that's a very important role. Relationship builder, you know, interacting with your community, technical architect, building the things, the creative mind, it's kind of self-explanatory, and the project manager to keep everything on task.
Yeah, I love this graphic because I can, you know, you mentioned earlier, Seth, that the internet can call all these positions, all sorts of different titles. You know, not everyone calls a project manager a project manager. We call them client experience leads here at 08. But it's so fun for me to look at this because I know who within our organization falls into these different labels. And then also when I'm speaking with clients, it's pretty easy to identify where they're missing that gap, which is then our job as an agency to go and fill that gap. What if you don't have the budget to hire a huge team? Yeah. So we see what we need, we just can't make it happen. Is there an option? Is there a solution for that?
Yeah, well, you know, I think you made a point about the roles, and some teams will have multiple people filling those roles, right? So sometimes you have to get by with who you have and try to hire a very diverse team, or, you know, hire a strong generalists, right? But those people are unicorns, and you're probably not going to build a team of unicorns unless you have a lot of dollars and are very, very successful, which is great if you can, and maybe a bit of luck. So, you know, there are things that you can do, right, to fill in the gaps. So you can, as you can see here, you can scale your talent pool, of course, hiring more, and that can be freelancers, or it can be agencies, it can be part-time folks, etc. And we have to think, okay, it's a very remote world these days, so there are places to hire remote, but if you're not set up for that, that can be tricky. Pre-screen talent, search out mentors and advice, identify agencies, like I said, and hire multiple vendors. So all of these things are possible. Each one has caveats and gotchas. You know, you can get a whole herd of cats in there and they're just meowing around and they're not organized and they're not effective. You can get multiple vendors that are not talking to each other, not operating on the same mission, information gaps. So there are definite dangers to all of these points here. But these are some of the options.
I also think, you know, on that note, one of the things that I think is key there is networking, right? So all those things kind of seem overwhelming, having all those different things to augment your marketing, your small marketing department. But if you network and you start building relationships with your industry peers, some of that kind of stuff comes naturally, and then you have these people to draw on when you need them, which I think is really important.
Yeah, that is important. And we can start networking again. So exciting. Everyone's getting vaccinated.
I know.
It's normal.
We can actually see other humans. It's so nice.
It's really wonderful. But our favorite solution, I know, is fractional marketing teams. And that's a concept that anytime I've mentioned it to someone, they have a little light bulb go off. And they're like, I didn't even know that was a thing and how useful. So talk to me about fractional marketing teams, Seth. What does it entail? What is fractional marketing?
Yeah, you've maybe heard of fractional CMO, which is generally one person. They maybe hire freelancers and stuff to fill in the gaps. But a fractional marketing team is, these people already know each other, work well together, are part of one single culture, and have worked together throughout the years. So that's the team aspect that is very different from the fractional CMO aspect. And each has its benefits. The team, of course, can come with CMO leadership and does come if that's what you're looking for. So yeah, that's kind of fractional marketing, right? It's, you don't have to hire these people as individuals. It's generally hourly or project-based work, and they essentially extend your team with theirs, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And they manage themselves, right? You don't need to manage them. They already work cohesively together and they have their systems down. And so they augment your team. They can get the work done.
Yep.
Talk to me more about that, Laura, like the augmenting their team and getting the work done. Like how could my organization benefit from a fractional marketing team?
Yeah, like let's just say that your marketing team is small and you don't have, you don't have enough budget to hire a full-time web team, right? A web designer and a web developer. You could use a fractional marketing team to augment that, a team that already works together on their own to help you with your business objective.
Yeah. Okay. So instead of hiring one agency that has a developer and a freelance designer who don't know each other, I can just use two that already work together and know each other's, languages, design style.
The systems is correct. Yeah, the systems are in place. They already have relationships established. They work well together. It's a very natural thing, to just have them jump in and take on projects.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So how do I go about implementing it?
Well, you just talk to someone who provides such a thing. You know, that's something that we provide. There may be other organizations out there that provide it. But really, it's just essentially bringing everyone into the same collaboration tools. Like Slack is a very common thing, a common project management tool, and just collaborating like you would with a coworker, right? And the goal of a fractional marketing team is to have all of these gaps filled for you. So you don't have to have this SEO vendor over here who's not talking to your design vendor, who's not talking to your tech vendor, et cetera, et cetera. And to bring efficiency from that.
Okay, cool. And it sounds like it's super flexible. And to your point that you made earlier, we live in a remote world now. So we have all these tools to allow people to be collaborative, even if they're not side by side in the same room. So I love that. Well, I want to jump in to some questions and answers and make sure that we give the audience some time to ask the questions. I know we went through a lot of different facets of what a marketing team, a fractional marketing team entails, and also how you should structure a perfect digital marketing team. So, okay, first question, what exactly are fractional marketing services?
So we kind of touched on that a little bit, but to better explain, it's kind of like working with an agency, except that these folks are truly proactive, extended members of your team working on an ongoing basis. You know, we tend to retain folks really well so that you carry that project context with you. If you're having burnout issues organizationally, you know, and you've got context flying out of the door, it's our goal to hold that context and be a consistent, long-standing member of your team so that, you know, even if someone gets sick or, you know, someone leaves the company, whatever it may be, you have this consistent entity that is always with you that you can fall back on at any time, handling surges in demand from management or special projects that come up. That's our goal, to be this kind of flexible entity that can flex with you and be a part of your team in a very flexible way that like individual humans employed for you cannot be.
Yeah. I think flexible is so key there.
Heather, on that note, you know, I was going to say, I think the difference between this idea and a typical agency model is we're working collaboratively with you. So like, you know, our clients will take on some of the work and we'll take on some of the work, or, you know, it's much more of an exchange back and forth than let's give this project to an agency. It's an interaction. It's a all encompassing thing that happens together with the client instead of, you know, handing stuff off and then getting stuff back.
Yeah.
Collaborative.
That's right. And we'll, you know, we'll sit on strategy meetings with management, right? At these companies, we're sitting as like roles that would normally be at the table in these strategic meetings. So it's definitely different.
I love that you brought that up, because we have had some cool experiences where a CFO or CMO needs to hear why the marketing budget is being requested, you know, to be increased, and where, how do we prove that we need more ad spend and things like that. And we come in and we help facilitate those conversations. And it is super flexible. And I've seen from a lot of our clients, and to your point, Laura, is what differentiates us or anyone that offers fractional marketing team services from the traditional agency model is that flexibility, right? So we have people come to us who are like, I just need a new website. I need a new web design. You know, this isn't working. Can you get me onto the latest platform and make it look better? And then when we start that process, it's like, oh, and I also need, you know, conversion rate help, and I need new content, and I need blogs. And it's like, okay, we can do 15 hours to the back end developer, 10 hours to the front end developer. You know, we got this content creator working on this, the designer working on this, and it's super flexible, and you can just kind of divvy out hours as needed. So I like that you pointed out that it's definitely different that way.
It is. It's much more collaborative, which I think is very interesting. And I think it's better for communication too. It just keeps communication open, and people are always on the same page when you're collaborating together.
Yep. Communication is key for sure. I love this question. I think this is awesome. So could you elaborate on what role emotional intelligence has in a marketing team structure?
You know, like I said, the differences between a bunch of vendors here, a bunch of vendors there. You know, being able to work well and understand each other and collaborate and make it a positive experience is really important, because marketing teams, marketers can burn out easily. So it has to be a collective, a group, a family, right, that gets along well and is proud of their work and also understands each other, but then of course also understand the client and where they're coming from and what issues they might have, and understand that their boss is yelling at them and demanding them, so maybe that's why they're acting a certain way, so I think it's really important.
I also think, having some self-awareness and responsibility for yourself, I think are also really, really key in that EQ conversation. You have to know, what your abilities are, where your strengths are, and where you need to lean on your team. I think having that kind of self-awareness is vital, and also being able to self-manage, right? Here's my task for the day. I'm accountable for these things. My team is counting on me to do these things. And that comes with EQ. You have to be able to self-manage yourself. I think, in addition to being collaborative with your teams, you also have a responsibility to your team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. And Seth, to your point, you said, marketers can get stressed out. They can get burnt out. We always joke, half of our job is being therapists to our clients, because they get stressed out. We all get stressed out. Yeah. I saw recently that I think a marketer's job was ranked right behind a heart surgeon on the most stressful jobs, which is crazy. So I think that this is great. You do have to have a good EQ and know how to work together and lift each other up, and raising water raises all ships, right? So you got to make sure that the whole team is lifting up the efforts. So that's great.
Especially right now. I mean, we're all coming back into some sort of new normalcy, right? We've all had a difficult year. I think having extra compassion for people and awareness about the fact that we're all human beings is really vital. It's really an important part of having good business relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is another good one. And this is this is a common one that I hear. Outsourcing scares me. I haven't had a lot of luck with managing freelancers in the past. To your point, Seth, you could end up with all these cats just meowing and running all over the place. Can you share any insights on how to make that process work better for me?
So it often breaks down to roles and responsibilities, that racy chart, but also, it takes time to manage resources. It takes time to manage freelancers. You can't always just say, hey, here's the project, get it done. If they're really great, sometimes that works, but your mileage may vary. And also, there's the aspect of culture that you don't think about. Like, we just know how to work together in our team. Why doesn't this freelancer know? Well, he's not, he or she or they are not part of the culture. So you have to do things to include them, especially if they're remote. You as soon as you start having remote freelancers and you expect them to work as well as team members, all of a sudden your whole organization has to, work this way.
I'm going to go back to the marketing thing and being more proactive, right? If you have to outsource, then be proactive and get your ducks in a row ahead of time, so that as the work comes in, you have the resources to fill the need of the work. I think a lot of times people get anxiety about freelancing and outsourcing because it's a reactive thing instead of a proactive thing. But if you had the resources ahead of time, it would be easier and less stressful to manage.
Well, outsourcing can mean so many different things. People hear the word outsourcing and they think, I'm just going to hand this project over to this company and, good luck, it'll get done. Call me when it's done. And then there's building a team of freelancers. There's hiring fractional CMOs. There's hiring fractional marketing teams. All of those are kind of outsourcing. Yep. So it's a really big, vague word. And, you have to be careful what you mean by that and also what you get with that, because you can, if you've never worked with this outsourcing company before, you can get subpar results. And if it's the model where you just hand the project off and you check out and you're surprised that it's poor quality at the end, that's what gives outsourcing a bad name, I think, but it doesn't always have to be so.
Well, a fractional marketing team is almost more like insourcing, right? Like, you're not pushing the project out the door, we'll get it back later. It's come into our organization and work with us.
And collaborate, yep.
So how do you get internal and external marketing team members to play nice and work as a team? For example, if you have a social media strategist that works at an organization and they need help, are they going to see a fractional marketing team social media strategist coming in as like a threat to their position? How do you get them to work together?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing to know is that fractional marketing, we do not replace team members. I mean, of course, we can fill gaps if you have them, but we work best when there's an existing marketing team and you just need additional help, you need additional resources, capacity, roles, what have you. So there's no reason to feel threatened. And often it's just supplementing or giving additional capacity / a second perspective to what you do. So as long as you don't get your ego in the way, there's really no reason to feel threatened, but rather it's just enhancing your capacity. It's like having more minds at the table, which if done right is generally better than one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's communicating that stuff up front, you know, when you start working with people and setting those expectations up front, I think helps establish that, you know, good communication, I think, goes a long way when you're working collaboratively. You have to set things, get the guidelines so that everybody understands what their role is, what they're doing, you know, why they're here. Then people don't have that kind of anxiety.
Yeah, I agree. And if you set those expectations at the beginning and, you know, Seth, you mentioned earlier, it's hard to find someone who can do it all. It really is a unicorn. And having that EQ, like we said, of being able to identify that's not my strong suit, that's yours, and supplementing each other and helping lift each other up. I think that's a really good way to put it for sure. Well, you've sold me on this. So I'm like gung-ho about fractional marketing teams, but how do I get my CFO, CMO, CEO on board? How do I get my leadership on board with this concept?
Well, the great thing about fractional is that it's scalable, right? So you can just start with a few hours. Our organization offers month-to-month contracts, no obligation, because you know, people just end up working with us. They like it and they quickly realize the benefits. So really selling it as a test, but also you tap into the EQ of your management if they have that, hopefully, and just say, you know, I'm burned out. I need some additional help, right? These are the gaps. This is where I see the ROI. Management always loves ROI. And just, you know, bringing in additional expertise, hopefully should be an exciting thing for management.
Perfect. Well, I think that this was super helpful and informative. It definitely makes me, from my position, who works with clients all the time, opens my eyes to how I can help them identify those gaps and where fractional marketing team can come in to help them. Feel free to reach out again if you need any fractional marketing team help, if you have any more questions.
Sounds good.
Thank you, everyone. See ya.
Thank you.